Let it rain. Let it rain. God bless you, folks. Thank you very much. So delighted to be here. Thankful for the presence of God that we are feeling. I need to share something with you before I preach. I was reading about it. Brother Mike talked about it when he put an age on it. But there's this thing going around, and they captioned it CRS. It used to only hit older people. But in the last several years, it's hitting just about any age. You can't escape it. The only cure for it is the Lord. Sister Wilson and I have worked out a plan that half the time she takes care of it, and the other half the time I take care of it. It's called can't remember stuff. So when I forget, she remembers. When she forgets, I remember. If they ever catch us apart, I don't know what's going to happen. Amen. Aren't you glad you can have a little fun in church? Amen. Hallelujah. Reading out of the book of Acts, chapter number 8. It's a little lengthy this morning, but it's needful. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah, the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generations? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginneth the same scripture and preached to him unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went both into the water. They went down both into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went his way rejoicing. Father, we're just grateful for what we have in this service already today. You have been with us. You have ministered to us. We've had the Word of God broken to us, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that we come to this point of this service, your Word. And I'm asking, God, let your Word teach us. Let your Word illuminate in our being, God, that we may draw closer to you and we may understand more about you. And we're going to praise you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Philip the evangelist was told by an angel to go to the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, and there he met the Ethiopian eunuch. I wonder if God spoke to us and said, go do something. How many times we would ask, is that you, Lord? Before we would go. Are you sure you're talking to me? You know what kind of a man I used to be. You know where you have brought me from. You know the sins that you have forgiven me of. You know why I had to be washed white as snow. You know, God, why I had to be filled with the Spirit. You know all that. You still want me to go? This Ethiopian had been to Jerusalem to worship. I'm glad the Bible had that little tidbit of information in there. He didn't go for any other reason. He went to worship. God saw the man worshiping. Now he's returning home. The Ethiopian is sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah. And he had come to this passage of scripture in Isaiah. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Ethiopian wanted to know who the scripture was talking about. Just before we get there, think about this. They go to the desert in the daytime. You don't cross the desert in the daytime. They find a pool of water big enough for both of them to go in and the eunuch to get baptized. Where do you find that much water ever? In the desert. Philip had to run alongside of the chariot. It does not tell us how far he had to run. But no doubt somewhere between 100 and 120 degrees, he's running alongside this chariot. You'd have thought he'd have grabbed hold of it and just let his feet slide on the sand. But he's running. And he looks up and he asks the Ethiopian, can you understand what you are reading? And the Ethiopian said, how can I unless I have a teacher or a man to tell me? This spot up here, I stand in all reverence to him. Because this is the spot where the man or the teacher tells you everything you need to do. It's a tough place before you get here. It's a tough place after you get here. It's a tough place when it's all over. Because all along the way, we have to touch the Lord, getting his approval to what we're about to say. I don't kid you, there's been times I went from my seat up to here and I said, Lord, you never gave me anything to say yet, and it's my turn. Philip told him the gospel of Jesus. And the Ethiopian stops to get baptized. He said, I have the book, I'm reading it. I have the heart, I want to know. But I need somebody to hook me up with what this means. We have a town full of churches. They preach everything under the sun except repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. They stand behind a sacred desk, much like this one. But before the time to come, after the time they got behind the desk, and then after it's all over, no one knows how to be saved. Oh, they get saved according to their feelings. But they cannot open up this sacred book and say, this is what I have right here. And God made every one of us special and pulled us out of sin. And gave us what we need. The Ethiopian had been to church. He'd been to worship. But the real breakthrough is on the journey back home. No doubt he had heard something in Jerusalem that made him turn to the book of Isaiah to read. Evidently, he was interested in it because he said, I have no teacher to teach me what it says. It's not always about what happens in here, but it is always what happens out there. If your faith doesn't make it outside this church, then you probably don't have any faith at all. I had a man call me last night. I had preached in the church that he attends a few weeks ago. God moved in that service mightily, and God allowed me, through the moving of the Spirit, to get some things taken care of for some people. It was a glorious time. And he called me last night and he said, I can't get this message out of my mind that you preached when you were at our church. And he said, you made it sound so simple to just go do what God wants you to do. Well, it's never simple. But the older you get, the maturer you get in the Lord, the easier it becomes. He said, God, what do you want me to do? And he said, God said, start down your block knocking on every door and tell the people I said for you to come and pray for them. Now, how would you like that to happen to you? In this day and age, you may not even know who your neighbors are. So he said, I started down the road. Next door, I knocked on the door, and the door opened. He said, I was praying, and God told me I needed to stop by and pray for you. He said, they let me pray for him. He said, I went on down to the next door, and he said, I knocked on the door, and when they answered, he said, I was praying. God said, I needed to come by and pray for you. He prayed for him. He prayed for everybody on that 2-block distance from where he lives. And he said, Brother Wilson, you want to know something? Man, I always want to know something. He said, every last one of them has cancer. What are the odds that everybody on a 2-block radius has the same disease? I kept waiting for him to tell me how many got healed, but we never got to that part. It might still be a work in progress. Hallelujah. I mean, get this picture. Philip, the evangelist, is chasing a chariot in the desert. Philip wants to update the programming for the Ethiopian. I got an update for you. The word is the same, but I get to take time and preach Jesus to you for what you need. What about you? How do you respond when you come face to face with your past? How do you respond when you come face to face with big problems? How would you respond if you're in the hospital or you're going through your darkest trial? See, it's easy to give him praise when everything's going right. It's easy to come to church and get all excited because your neighbors are getting all excited. It's a good thing. But when you're in your desert and you're trying to catch a chariot, that's not the answer for you. How do you respond? Sometime or somewhere, we're all going to come to an uncertainty. Get up, you get in your car, same routine. You do it every Monday. You're going to work. You're going to class. You're going to school. Put the key in, start the car, put it in gear. Be a good driver, look both ways. Got your seatbelt on. You're ready to go. There is a calculated risk that you will sustain an expense that you aren't counting on that day. When you come to this uncertainty, this is the place where what you have been doing to stop, to put your dreams on hold, to cease your forward progress. My heart is heavy. It went out to Brother Charlie this morning when he said, 5 days to live. Now it's easy to think, well, if I only had 5 days to live, I'd take care of everything. I don't know what condition she's in, but she may not even be in a condition to pray. So somebody else has to step in. Somebody else has to say, I don't care about the desert I'm going through. I don't care if it's 100 degrees. I don't care if I'm chasing after a chariot. I'm going to get a hold of my God. I'm going to touch heaven's throne. I'm going to wake up God, for I want God to perform a miracle. Oh, shamabababohotamabasata. Hallelujah. We are the ones. We are the ones the world turns to. We are the ones the unsaved looks for. When they go through a calamity, when they go through a trial, they know who to call. They know who to come to. They know what church to attend. But they don't know how to serve the God that they want to answer their prayers. I guess we all come to the place in our life that we have to admit that there are just things about life we don't understand. You know, I'm 73 years old, so I'm in that CRS. But one thing I can promise you, I'll never forget his death, his resurrection. Hallelujah. His burial. Amen. It won't make any difference if I got a double case of CRS when I get to be 100 or when I get to be 130 or if I make it to 140. You know, I say, God, I don't care how long I am going to live as long as I can do your work. If they have to put me in the bed and do everything for me, just bring me home, Jesus. Amen. I don't want to wear my wife out doing that. Just take me home. Your chariot will come to a standstill. It will not go any further without a Philip in your life. You need an evangelist. We got a pastor. We got a pastor that I'm very proud of. God's using our pastor. Other people are recognizing it, so they're trying to get him out of here over there to preach. We got to do something about that. But you see, an evangelist's job is not the job of a pastor. There are things that my pastor teaches us that I would not be allowed to teach you. It falls under the category of a pastor. He's a problem solver. He juggles a lot of things going on at one time. He may even be chasing more than one chariot. But the evangelist, that's me. gets to come in. Tell you how good this Jesus is. Tell you about the miracles in the Bible. Tell you about blind eyes opening up, about the lame walking, about the deaf hearing, about the dead being raised. He gets to encourage us. He gets to excite us. The evangelist can get you up here. And then the pastor brings you back down to level. Well, we learn. We don't learn up here. We learn down here. It is in the valley God restoreth our soul. Mountaintop experience is great. I cannot begin to tell you how much I enjoy preaching when I'm not a pastor. I can just preach. Then I can go home. I don't have to hear about Aunt Sadie and losing her false teeth. Help us pray, Pastor. They got to be in the house somewhere. And the dog ate them. I can preach exciting. I can tell you there is a God that sits beside you. There is a God that rides in your car. There is a God that sleeps in your bed. There is a God that has meals with you. He's always there. The devil wants to pull the curtain down. The devil wants you to get in the chariot. He wants you to be reading something you don't understand. But there's a Philip somewhere. There's a Philip that's going to come to you. There's a Philip that's going to talk to you. There's a Philip that's going to tell you what the Word says. We should all be evangelists and missionaries. I'm assuming Pastor will be back Wednesday night. Wouldn't it be awesome if we brought in about a dozen new people, never been here before? Wouldn't that be awesome to bring them in so they could hear his Bible study? I got a sneaky suspicion it may not be a Bible study Wednesday night. He's been in conference this weekend, and now he's preaching away. I think he's going to have some things to preach to us. It's okay, Pastor. You go for it. Hallelujah. Last Wednesday night, when I came in, the pastor's standing over here. I walked up and hugged him and said, Pastor, I love you. I knew instantly Brother Wilson was not preaching Wednesday night. So I didn't feel bad when he said, hold it till Sunday. I felt a little bad when he called me early this morning and said, did I tell you I wanted you to preach? It's Sunday morning, Pastor. What do you mean? Yes, sir, you did. I'm ready. Let's do it. Hallelujah. Too much of the time, we keep stuff locked up inside of us. Maybe. This is the day. Maybe this is the Sunday. Maybe this is the hour that God's going to bring you to a redirect. God's going to recalibrate the direction you're going in because God's got something great he wants you to be involved with. Oh, that, you know, I tried, Lord. That was supposed to be the highlight of the message when you guys really got excited. But you dropped it like a hot potato. Let's see if we can do something else now. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. In other words, I'll be your teacher. What that is saying, you need to get with it. It said you need to get with it. You need to get to the place that you become conformable unto his death. What's that mean? That means when you come through that door and you had a bad week, you're having a bad morning, maybe you and your wife had some words, maybe she made you fix your own breakfast, maybe you didn't get any breakfast. It means when things aren't going real good and you come through that door, there ought to be enough of God down inside of you that you can lay that thing down, you can forget about the week, and you can come in and you got something that you want to dance to the Lord for. Leave it at the door. No junk is allowed in. Ooh. I know that was the second chance they had. But when you learn to trust the Lord, when you are down, when you learn to cast all your cares upon Him, when you love to give Him all your pain, when you love to give Him all your burdens, that's when the Holy Ghost GPS is going to get you on another route. You know, the Bible talks about love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness. You know, talks about all these things. But why does it seem like we have to die and go to heaven before we get them? We don't. But it's like anything else. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it. God's ready to show you the road of enlightenment, the road of revelation, revealing. You've heard us say this. Minister after minister has got up here and said this. Ministers that pastor talks to on the phone have said this. We are getting ready for the most great revival that this world has ever known. This thing is going to put Pentecost down to just a level one, and we're going to be up here at about a level 25 because God's getting ready to pour out His Spirit. I'm so glad that I am right here. I'm here right now that God can pour out His Spirit and I can be a part of it. Woo. Hallelujah. Several years ago, when the Lord spoke to me about revival breaking out, He spoke to me about it breaking out in Lewistown. Then I find out Pastor Cluster is all encouraged about the revival. It's going to start in State College. Now, in case you didn't get that right, Lewistown, State College are together now. And if you would take a map, you draw an X over the map, you would see that it's just a little beyond State College. But it's just a little beyond Lewistown coming this way. I thought, Lord, if I could find the exact foot where that X is going to cross and that fire is going to fall, I believe I'd go out there and camp out for a couple days. Say, I'm ready, Lord. You can start with me. He can start with us in here. He can start with us right now. He can bless us right now. He can heal your body right now. He can deliver you right now. He can set you free right now. He can give you His Spirit right now. Three strikes and they're out. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10 says this. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. Take pleasure in infirmities. Are we we there yet? Are we at that place with God? Let it come. Amen. I believe we are. I believe we are. Let's read the rest of it. In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I'm telling you, we are at that place. I believe we made up our mind. I don't care if infirmities come. I'm still going to give my Lord the praise. I don't care if trials come. I'm still going to give my Lord my praise. I don't care if one happens to me. I'm still going to give God my praise. No matter what I find myself in, I'm going to give God praise. Even though we might not want to admit it, we do better in the fight. We are made stronger when we're weak. Why is that? That's because we turn to the Lord. If there would be such a person that has never, ever said anything to God, and they find out they got cancer and they only got about 3 months to live, I promise you they would learn how to talk to Him. Now, we're striving to get there. But if they roll one of us up here in the casket, we all get so sad because they died. That was what they was looking for. They're home now. Oh, yeah, we're going to cry. It's human feelings. We're going to miss that person. I probably told you before my second oldest sister died, she pulled me over to her and she said, "Now, Jody, when you preach my funeral, I want you to rejoice. I want that church to shout." She said, "I want nobody walking up there telling everybody how sorry they are that Joanne Earle died." So when the time comes, just a few months later, I got up and I preached celebration. I preached celebration until they were dancing in the aisles. I preached celebration until they were running around the church. I preached celebration until two backsliders came down and used her casket for an altar. We rejoiced. We shouted, "Hallelujah." Why? Because she was ready. Because she was ready. Kind of like us, you know, to use an allegory, when you buy a new car, it's undoubtedly going to be recalled. Something is going to be recalled. It's usually something small. If my Jeep gets any more recalls and gets any more replaced parts, they're going to have to call it a 2018 instead of a 2012. Maybe you are at the place where some little things need to be recalled, where God can take up a brand new walk with you, where God can replace something that's been holding you back, where God can open up your heart that you can have a revival. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. I ain't done yet, folks. Sorry. You had your time, now it's my time. Maybe God needs to remind you about the little things, about the little things, and about the little things. You know, those things that you have uttered the words in your mind and possibly out loud, what difference does it make? It might make the difference whether your car becomes safe or not. It might make the difference whether you feel that you've got back into the graces of God. You know and I know, sometimes we get out of God's grace. I'm so glad that we can come back to Him and repent. That was an excellent message this morning. Hallelujah. Because God's waiting for us. The Ethiopian, he may have not made the statement, but I guarantee you it was going through his mind. I am not going back home until I get everything that God has for me. I may be on a desert road. I may be where it's hot and barren. But God, I'm reading your word, and I don't know what it means. You got to send me somebody. God said, Philip, get going. And the Bible doesn't tell us how far on the journey the Ethiopian had got to. But from Jerusalem to wherever he was at, Philip had to get there. In our years of travel, we have been almost everywhere in the United States. I've been in the mountains in Washington State that we're way up here in this mountain, and we look down, and the road goes there, and comes, and the road goes over here, then the road goes over there, and you're looking down thinking, I have to drive on that road. Boy, you better have the shocks in good condition. Well, your car's going to do a whole lot of leaning when you go around the curves. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're doing a whole lot of leaning with your relationship with God. But today God is trying to bring you back to a place. You know, why would you even make the trip to church if you didn't want all God has for you? Hello? Why even bother coming? Well, God, you can replace this part and you can replace this part, but I kind of want to keep this one. It doesn't work that way. You give him everything. Then he gives you everything. And what he gives you is a whole lot more than what you gave him. You can talk about it. You can shout about it. But for it to work, you've got to get it. Talking about it's not enough. Shouting about it's not enough. You have to have the new birth in your life, or you cannot see the rapture take place for you. Evidently, Philip was a good evangelist, because they came upon a body of water, and the Ethiopian says, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? In other words, he's saying, Philip, I'm ready. Philip, I believe what you just told me. And for God to put a pool of water out in the desert, God already knew the Ethiopian was going to get baptized. God ever has something for you to do or someplace for you to go, God will get you ready to get there, and he'll get you there, and then he'll tell you what you need to say after you get there. And the whole trip you're saying, oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. God, I don't know what I'm going to say. Just go. You know? If God tells you, go back there and talk to Brother Wilson. I don't know what to say to Brother Wilson. He's 73 years old. He's been preaching 54 years. I don't know what to say to him. Just be kind to me, an old man. God will give you the words to say. Hallelujah. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you can be baptized. And the Ethiopian said, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. You know, this is no brainstorm. This is not rocket science. So you young preachers know this one thing. You cannot baptize anybody that won't bend. If they won't bend, you're not going to get them baptized. Unless you take them out somewhere the water's deep and you just push them under. But to baptize them the normal way that we baptize people, if they won't bend, you're liable to get baptized before they can. Many times we wonder why God would let us go through such bad and difficult times. You been there? I mean, has anybody here ever said to God, why? Why, God? And then the real good one, why me, God? God knows that when he puts these things all in order, they always work for the good. That's why Paul said, I glory in my because he knows when he gets through, it's going to be for his good. What people don't seem to understand is if we garner the necessary wisdom and lessons from an experience we're going through, those of us who actually went through some hard times can honestly look at you and say, it was for my good. May not be able to tell you that when we're going through it. I could tell you some things that I promise I could make you cry with what I had to go through. But God didn't tell me to make you cry. God told me to get you to worship. But I promise you this. There's not one thing this old boy has ever gone through in his entire life that's worth getting rid of him for. I'll keep him. I'm going to close with this. Everybody needs to go through something that changes them in a way that they could never go back to be the person that they were. Everybody needs that kind of a change. Hallelujah. And yes, even after you get the Holy Ghost, sometimes you have to go back. Not to what you were, but back to where God changed you. And you're never going to be the same again. You may be here and you may not know about this great God that I serve. But I want you to know he knows exactly where you are this minute. He knows what church you're in. He knows what row you're sitting in. He knows what seat you're sitting in. And he knows exactly what needs to be done for you. So if you could believe with all your heart that Jesus is the God, then he can do this for you and change you. Oh, you'll never ever be the same. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Young or old, God is here to do something very special today. And God, if he hasn't already done it, God is talking to you right now, telling you, I'm going to do this for you because I love you. I'm going to make this change in your life so that you won't think everything has to be bad. You won't think that I have to lose every time. But you can think I have an altar that I can go to, my home, my car, on my job, at church. I have an altar where I can say, God, can you send me an evangelist right now to teach me? In case you didn't know it, Jesus Christ was an evangelist. He was not a pastor. He got people to start churches, but they were the pastor. He gathered a group of men together. They did what he wanted them to do. So I'm in good company when I talk about evangelists. But the evangelist Jesus Christ is here right now. He's talking to your heart. You are feeling it in your head. Jesus is saying, make your way forward. I've got something really special for you today. To make your way forward is to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So come. So come. Everybody that will, come. Come. Hallelujah.